This is John Gould reading Crunch from the collection Kilter 55 Fictions. What does it mean, infinitely small, Simon? Says my son. Stepson, really, which explains the first name basis. We're side by side in front of the den computer in the standard attitude of supplication, a pair of cats peering hopefully into a hot air vent, Barry in his PJs, me in the rumpled remains of my workaday suit. How small is infinitely small? Go ask your mother, I tell him. Sorry, just kidding. But he kicks me anyway with his little slippered foot. For one thing, Barry's supposed to be flossed and brushed and in bed already. For another, this is supposed to be a project on basic astronomy, rings of Saturn, moons of Jupiter. Barry's tackled the origin of the universe. Ambitious little creature, takes after his mom, who's downstairs in her office right now, clinching a deal with somebody on the far side of the Earth, where the sun's already up again. After a few false starts and some amusing detours, including an illustrated primer on the origin of the Miss Universe pageant, Long Beach, 1952, won by Finland's lovely Armi Kusela, we found a website explaining that the universe was born 10 or 15 billion years ago in an event known as the Big Bang. At that time, everything, and I mean everything, all matter, space, and time, was scrunched up in an infinitely small, infinitely hot, infinitely dense little morsel, which blew up. Now, today, we're all still hurtling outwards from that initial blast, whizzing through space like chunks of cosmic shrapnel. So the story goes. Working by tens up from zero, Barry and I have mastered the idea of a billion. A billion's nothing to us now. A billion's a breeze. Infinity, though, is turning out to be a trickier bit of business. Infinity isn't a concept I run into very often myself in my work with the government. Billion-dollar debts are routine for us, trillion-dollar debts. But what would an infinite debt look like, exactly? Tomorrow night, I tell him, we'll work on infinity tomorrow night. He kicks me again. Should I be doing something about this? I tell him, no matter how many times you kick me, you haven't kicked me an infinite number of times. Even if I kick you a billion times? Even if you kick me a billion billion times, what's the biggest number you can think of? He says, a billion 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 jillion gazillion. That's nothing, I say. Infinity's bigger than that. Infinity's way bigger. Then how can something be infinitely small? Well, I guess you just turn around and go the other way. What's the smallest thing in the world? A cell, he says. Wait, an atom. Little scholar. His dad's pretty quick, I gather, on the math and science side, engineer of some sort. Not that he deigns to share much of it with his son, the son of a bitch. Maybe a weekend a month, maybe not. Okay, I say, so you cut that atom in half, and then you cut it in half again. You cut it in half a billion, 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 jillion, gazillion times. You keep on cutting it like that forever, and then you've got something infinitely small. He says, forever? But my mind has begun to wander. While Barry was copying out the details of the Big Bang just now, I skipped on down the page to something called the Big Crunch. Nowadays, sure, the universe is still expanding, ballooning outwards with the energy of that first creative huff. It'll probably run out of steam one day, though, and start clutching at itself, sucking itself back in. Once it begins to collapse, it won't stop until it's all packed into that single dot again. Infinitely small, infinitely hot, infinitely dense. What interests me is the point smack dab in the middle. What interests me is the moment at which the whole thing quits expanding but hasn't yet begun to contract, the moment of stillness between swelling and shrinking, systole and diastole, when the world stops being born and starts dying. Will we feel it? Will we know? Hey, can anybody in here tell time? Barry's mom looms in the doorway, fists on hips, trying to look stern. What she really looks, though, is exhausted. Her thin face appears heavy somehow, gravity-stricken. Her bun has come unraveled on one side, blonde ringlets falling around her neck, stiffened here and there with gray. Her black skirt is unbuttoned at the side. If Barry weren't here, I'd tug it down, take her onto my lap. I just have to figure out this one thing, says Barry. I scoop him up, throw him over my shoulder. Make it a quick one. If everything's inside the little dot, says Barry, squirming like a squirrel in a sack, what's the little dot in? Would any real spawn of mine have been able to come up with that question? What can I possibly say that will count as an answer? Never mind, says Barry. I'll ask my dad. But it's his mom and I who tuck him in, who make a Barry sandwich of him on his little blue bed, and it's to us he keeps saying, stay forever.